Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The author of those words, the Holy Spirit. The writer, the Apostle Paul. And the one to whom the message was first addressed was Timothy. It is a statement of re-emphasis of the basic mission of Jesus Christ for coming to this earth. No verse is any more comprehensive in this matter than this one, unless it might be Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, when Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." But again here in John 6 and verse 38, when Christ said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Such declarations have thrilled the hearts of serious people since the days of the first century. They have never ceased to bring joy and comfort and hope to mankind. A newspaper reported the plight of a boy who lived along the banks of the Mississippi River following a spring thaw of ice of the north and the heavy rains. Levees broke, and waters flooded the lowlands, engulfing a small town under something like 15 feet of water. Many drowned. Much property, businesses, homes were totally destroyed. A relatively small boy managed to climb atop a house. He was cold, he was wet, he was hungry, and he was able to feel the house quiver beneath him under the pressures of the pounding waters. His death seemed but a moment away. But he was spotted by rescuers circling overhead in a helicopter. They hovered lower, dropped a rope to the lad, who anxiously took hold, and he was pulled to safety only moments before the house collapsed and the water washed it downstream. Friend, a person without Christ is in a similar state as the boy on the roof. Humanity has engulfed itself in a flood of sin, helpless before the poundings of temptation, clinging to life in desperate need of spiritual rescue. The boy's danger, of course, was a physical peril, but the danger of one in sin is spiritual, and there is a greater peril than any physical peril one can imagine. This peril can and does have eternal consequences, and many are unlike the boy who realized his danger. Some are wandering about seemingly unaware and unconcerned for the spiritually disastrous situation they are suffering. Sin came into the world with a transgression of our first parents. Romans 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." When Adam and Eve sinned, the floodgates of evil were opened and sin has flowed rampantly in the lives of their descendants. Sin and its wages have plagued mankind ever since. None are sinners or guilty of sin simply because of the sin of the first pair. But sin and temptation to sin has been encountered by all, and as Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. And what is sin? 1 John 3 and verse 4, sin is a transgression of the law. That's the law of God. Everyone is a sinner because of his or her own sins, Romans 5:12. The scripture says, "For that all have sinned." Even those who are Christians will occasionally sin, 1 John 1 and verse 8. "There is none righteous, no, not one," Romans 3, verse 9 and 10. Convincing ourselves and others of the guilt of sin is often difficult. Human beings are inclined to defiantly deny their guilt and thereby deny their irrefutable need of forgiveness. But when we accept the revelation of God, there will be no question in our minds that we need to be freed from sin. John records, "Everyone that committeth sin is the bond servant of sin," John 8, verse 34. And this is the worst form of slavery. We who sin and remain in that state are in the servitude to Satan. To remain in his service will be to receive the wages of sin, which is spiritual death and separation from God, Romans 6:23 and 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. Paul writes that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. James also stated, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:13-15. In these passages, the word translated death means the miserable state of the wicked dead in hell. It refers to the wretchedness in the lower world. We should consider these passages and their significant meanings. They ought to be allowed to rank high among the solemn and shocking and soul-disturbing warnings that God has graciously given unto man regarding the devastation of sin. Those who live and die in sin have nothing to which to look forward except possibly being rescued. Referring to the small boy once again in our illustration, all he could see before him was fear and horror and hopelessness and physical death and the swirling waters below him. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. That's what the sinner can see. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. That's what the sinner can see. And these shall go away into everlasting punishments, but the righteous into life eternal. That's what the sinner can see, Matthew 25:46. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. That's what the sinner can see. And the devil that received them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, Revelation 20:10. That's what the sinner can see. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:14-15. Yes, that's what the sinner can see. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9, In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what the sinner can see. That's all he has for which to look forward. And all such words are given to us by God to convince us of our lost and hopeless condition when we're out of Christ. Surely there is no consolation offered in these verses that the weary soul desires. But such is our destiny without Christ. There's the story of a man who walked through some deserted mining region, and he was overtaken by the darkness of night. He lost his way in the darkness, and his danger was great because he might step over some precipice or down into some open shaft, gloomy pit, be dashed to pieces or trapped without anyone ever knowing what became of him. Fortunately, he realized his peril, and he stopped and began to cry aloud for someone to help him. One who lived nearby heard his cry for help and took his lantern and, being familiar with the terrain, hurried out toward the pitiful wails of the lost man. The glimmering light came nearer and nearer. The lost one finally saw the rays of the lantern making the surroundings as bright as day. The lost man was lifted to his feet and guided safely through the surrounding danger toward the cottage of security. Who could doubt for a moment that this rescue was due to the one who answered the call? He heard the cry. He acted on behalf of the lost one, bringing him to safety. Spiritually speaking, people are lost like this man, traveling the dangerous road of life in the darkness of their own sins, unable to find the way to safety alone. Every person, like the man of the story, can and ought to cry out for someone to save them. But who can lead such a person to spiritual security except Jesus the Christ? He is the only Savior, Acts 4:12. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what our text stated. And just as the man that was lost saw the light and followed his rescuer, so must we come to the light of truth and follow Christ for our salvation. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Oh, this is a refreshing word for our spirits, and words that provide hope in the midst of a sin-burdened world. When the Lord was born in Bethlehem, the angels announced him as the Savior, Luke 2 and verse 11. When the Samaritans heard and saw Jesus, they recognized him as Savior. They said, "Now we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Jesus did not come primarily to condemn the world, but to save the world. John 12:47. Condemnation of evil, of course, was part of his mission, as he sought the salvation of man. Salvation, however, was uppermost. The truth of Christ and his message is what the world needs so much. Friend, Christ became our Savior only at a great sacrifice. In Romans chapter 5, it teaches that through the act of righteousness that he brought justification to man. Now, this has reference to his crucifixion on Calvary's cross. By his death on the cross, he paid the price for the sins that we have committed. There's a painting of a little girl talking to a figure that represented Jesus, and she is holding his hand with the nail prints quite evident, and she is asking, "What happened to your hand?" Well, friend, that which happened to the hand of Jesus was the cost that he bore in order to be our Savior. To be sure, all that led to this climactic moment of his supreme sacrifice was a part of his sacrifice. His willingness to leave the glory of heaven and take on the form of man to endure temptations and trials, they were all parts of his bitter sacrifice, Philippians 2:5-8. His humiliation before men, even being betrayed by one of his own number, forsaken by all and deprived of justice and mercy in order to bestow justice and mercy, all of that was a part of his sacrifice. Jesus became our Savior only at a heavy cost to himself. But thanks be to God that God was willing to send his only begotten Son, and that his Son was willing to do what he has done for us. Otherwise, to whom shall we go? Paul said, "Faithful is the saying." That is, here is something on which we can depend, something that is true, something that is sure. Here is that which deserves our confidence. Jesus came to save sinners. He is the author of salvation, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. But Hebrews 5:9 does not stop with telling us that Christ is the author of salvation. It continues, "He became the author of salvation to them that obey him." And referring to our illustrations, what if the boy on the roof refused the rope extended to him? What if the starving man rejected the food that's offered to him? What if the sick will not take the medicine prescribed for them? What if the man lost in the mining area had not wanted salvation, refused to cry out, refused to follow his benefactor? What of that person who is accountable before God but who will not obey Jesus Christ? Can they enjoy salvation anyway? He came to save. But who will be saved? Those that hear and do. Who among us will be in that number? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.